begin the current daf, Masechta Metzia, daf Samach Zayin. Begin on the bottom line of daf Samach Vav Mabez, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Gemara was discussing the halacha of our Mishnah, which spoke about that if someone borrowed money and he gave as collateral to the lender his field, and he said, if I don't pay you back within 3 years, you can go ahead and keep my field. So the primary chiddush of the Mishnah, which is the topic of our parak, was discussing that there's no problem about ribis, although generally that should be because the lender is getting back more than they loaned, but that is a different discussion, that there's no problem with ribis. Now parenthetically, the Gemara got into the whole discussion, does even such a stipulation even work? Because that is what's called asmachta. In other words, a guy doesn't want to give away his field that's worth, let's say, 10 times the amount of the loan. He's just using hyperbole. He's just exaggerating, saying, look, if I don't pay you up in 3 years' time, you could have my field. Now, he just wants to show how serious he is about paying up. If he doesn't, what happens? So it seems like from the halacha of the Mishnah that it's going to work. Asmachta is going to be counted. That was the most discussion regarding if possibly the halacha of our Mishnah is going according to specific Tano, or it's talking about a different type of a case of Kanime Akshav. That was the Gemara's discussion that it got into the halachas of Asmachta. Now, one of the previous Gemara's discussions was that Rav Nachman said, now that the Rabbanan said that Asmachta is not Koina, we paskin that if someone makes a guarantee way more than should be just to prove his point, if ultimately he defaults, does not have to go through, that's not an acquisition. Then, let's say in the case of our Mishnah, if someone, the borrower promised that within 3 years' time, fine, if I don't pay up, you could take my field. If they go through with it and the lender takes the field and eats the produce, he has to give back the land and he has to give back the produce because that was not a valid kinyan. So the Gemara said, it sounds like from Nachman that even though the buyer, even though the borrower, who's the owner, let's call him the seller, thought he had to because that's what they made up, but that's a mechila b'tayis, and mechila b'tayis is not a mechila. And therefore, though he was forgiving, he thought that he has to give the guy the pears. He didn't have to, he didn't know, and now he gets even the pears back. And that is the Gemara, but Rav Nachman was quoted as saying, regarding a halacha that he disagreed with Rav Huna regarding selling a dovish label oilam, pears of a fruit tree that didn't, it's not even yet the fruit there, but he sold it to someone else. Then what happens is he finds out that it was a mistake because Rav Nachman holds that you can't sell something dovish label oilam, so he could retract. But, said Rav Nachman, I agree that if the buyer already ate it, then we don't take it away from him. Why? As Rashi had explained, because that's a case of mechila b'tayis, where the guy thought he sold it, even though it turns out it was an erroneous sale, he didn't know that it wasn't a sale, but originally he was mechila b'tayis, so that's going to be mechila, and you can't go ahead and take it away from that person. So that the Gemara asked, that seems to contradict Rav Nachman's other halacha, and that the Gemara answered, hasam zvini ha'chalva. By the case that he disputes with Rav Huna regarding selling a davish label oilam, where the guy was mechila b'tayis, yeah, mechila b'tayis is mechila. And there's no other problems there because it's a sale. But in the previous Gemara's discussion regarding a loan, regarding if let's say I don't pay you back in 3 years, then my field will be considered sold to you. But since it stems from a loan, it's like ribis kitsutza, because it's stemming from a loan where they're making up, if I don't pay you, you can get more than what I gave you. So though really it's not interest, because it just, however, since it appears like interest, because he borrowed $100, he's giving him back $1,000, that's why it's problematic. Not because of Mechila B'tayis. Mechila B'tayis is Mechila, but the case of Halva is different. That was the Gemara's discussion. And that continues our Gemara Amar Rava. Rava says on this topic, he says, as a continued topic of Samach Zayin Min Aleph, says, Havi Yisivne Kamid Rav Nachman. I was sitting in front of Rav Nachman when he said this halacha regarding the sale, where if someone sells something that's labeled Olam, that Rav Nachman held that the person could retract even after the payers came out to the world, because it wasn't a sale. But if the Rav Nachman said, I agree to Rav Huna, that if the buyer already ate the payers, then we don't make him pay up for what he ate. And the reason for that is, as we explained, because Mechila B'tayis have Mechila, it's considered already Mechila, since it's already finished, he doesn't have to pay up for it. And I wanted to ask him from the Alochas of Oina, which was the previous Perek's topic, in Perek Azav, the Mishnah and Daphne and Alf teaches us, that if someone gets frauded, let's say the buyer gets frauded by the seller by a sixth of the price, that then the Oina has to go back to the buyer. Now, that's in spite of the fact that the buyer willingly gave the money, but since he was mistaken, he didn't realize he was paying by more than the sixth of the price. So what we see is, says Rava, that although he was meichel, in other words, he was meichel, he was forgiving the money, he thought that he's paying the right amount. But since it was erroneous, we see that it's not a mechila, which contradicts Rav Nachman's premise, which is based on the halacha, mechila b'tayis, have mechila. But says Rava, v'oidik, but Rav Nachman paid attention to me. He saw that I was getting ready to ask him a question regarding what he had said, and Chazisan Eilinus, he beat me to it, and he showed me something that would support his opinion from the halacha of Eilinus, as the Gemara is going to shortly quote. As the Gemara explains what Rabbi was saying, he says, "Varei Aina." Here you have the halacha of Aina, but price fraud. The Mechila B'Taisi, which again, as we just explained, is a case of where someone was forgiving on the money that is given to the seller, but it was an error. V'lo have Mechila, and you see, there's not considered Mechila. But for Eidik, what Rav Nachman had then checked into, Chazis and Eilinus, and he showed me the halach of Eilinus, that is, because Hare Eilinus, you have the halach of an Eilinus, which is a woman that doesn't have the same reproductive system as a regular woman that can't have children, and that's why it's called Eilinus from the word of a eye, like a ram, that's a male. The Mechila B'Toisi, as we're going to shortly explain, there the halacha is that she is Michael, but in error, and yet Vahav Mechila. It is a Mechila, like Rav Nachman. That's not like learning the Mishnah Masechtas Ksubas. Hamenes is a case of when there's a minor girl that was orphaned from a father, her mother is rabbinically allowed to marry her off. Now, since it's rabbinic marriage, the Chacham said she could do something what's called miyun. She could refuse the marriage because biblically, the actions of a minor have no validity. And moreover, although a minor cannot do anything, her father has biblical rights to marry her off, but her father's dead. Her mother doesn't have biblical rights to marry her off. It's the Rabbanan who instituted marriage for the orphan girl so that people shouldn't treat her in an inappropriate way because she has no one protecting her, no man in her life. So her husband will protect her. Now, so the Chacham, although they made this rabbinic marriage for a minor orphan, but however they said that it's enough for her to be removed from that marriage with what's called miyun, that she just refuses, she could walk out without a get. Now, as the Mishnah is going to teach us all the categories that it's going to quote, these women, one of the things that they don't have is they don't have a ksuba. So the reason why this minor orphan doesn't get a ksuba, which is the dowry when she leaves, is, and moreover, even if she actually brought stuff into the marriage, into the nedunya, which were then put onto the ksuba, which she brought in from her family's household, she doesn't get that, and for sure she doesn't get the 200 which were instituted from the husband to the woman for every single woman, and the reason being is because since she leaves against the husband's will, the ksuba is there for the husband that he has to pay because he's letting her go. But since she's walking on her own, she doesn't get a ksuba. So that's the mema enes, the woman that refuses, the minor girl that refuses the marriage. Shnia are what's called secondary arayas. Arayas are women that are written in the Torah that are forbidden to have intimate relationships with. So shnia are secondary arayas, which the Chacham had made a gzera that they're also going to be included in the category of arayas. As the Gemara says, Nimam is chafam and aleph. So she also doesn't get a ksuba if she gets married to this rabbinically forbidden man to her. And the reason being is because we penalize her. The reason why we penalize her, that she doesn't get a ksuba, and not him, that he has to pay the ksuba, is because as Gemara Yevamos Daf Hey Amud Beis explains why she's the one that seduces and convinces him to go into this rabbinically forbidden marriage more than him convincing her. So she gets penalized, she doesn't get a ksuba. And Va Eilinus. As we explained, Eilinus is a Dechar Nisa, is the term of an isle, of a ram, which, because she can't have children, she also doesn't get a ksuba. And the reason being is because it's a mekachtes, it's a mistaken acquisition on the part of the husband because he didn't intend to marry a woman that will not be like all the other women that could have children. Now, the proof that the Gemara is bringing, that Rav Nachman is bringing from the case of Eilinus is that even though that we see that she's being meichel, her nedunya that she gave to him, meaning she's going to be leaving this marriage without the things that she brought in that was put into the dowry, although those things were in error because she didn't realize that the whole marriage was never going to start, that the husband's going to let her go, still we see that since when she went into the marriage, she was meichlet, she gave it over to the husband, although it was betayis, we see that it was a mechila. So that's going to be the point that's like Rav Nachman, that we see his halacha, mechila betayis is a mechila. But one thing the Mishnah says regarding these three women, the Menes, the Shnia, and the Alnes, so as we said, Einlan like Ksuba, they don't get when they leave the marriage a Ksuba, the dowry, Veloy Peiris, neither do they get Peiris. In other words, when there are certain properties that these women inherit after they're married, so the Chamor Mesak and they instituted that what do you do with this money that the woman inherited? That they buy land with it, and the husband eats the Peiris of that land. He has the utility of these things. Now, because that the husband gets that rights from the woman to eat the peres, so they instituted in place of that, that if a woman gets taken as a captive, the husband has to redeem her from his own money. Now, that's what we're saying over here, that she doesn't get peres. In other words, even though that these women, that their peres, the husband eats them, they don't have the takana of peres. In other words, if they are taken in captivity, the husband does not have to redeem them from his own money, because the whole purpose of what's required is because the ksuba says va'isvintach le'intu, that I will take you back as a woman when you're taken in captivity. And here the situation does not apply because he doesn't take them back because they're forbidden, or because she can move on her own. So that what the Mishnah is saying is that in spite of that, when she leaves, he doesn't have to give her back the payrus that he ate. And v'le mezainus, let's say she didn't have food one day, she had to borrow money, he doesn't have to pay her back for her sustenance. And v'le belois, let's say she brought into the marriage, into the dowry, certain garments, even if some of them are still around, he doesn't have to give them back these worn out garments that are still extant. Now again, one thing that we see from this is that the mechila that the woman has, that the husband ate the payrus, even though it was an error, she didn't realize that this illness is going to be sent away, that the marriage never happened in the first place. We see that, like Rav Nachman, that it is considered a mechila. So that was Rav's question, and that was Rav Nachman beat him to it and brought him a proof, like him, the mechila b'tos is a mechila. Now says the Gemara, v'lohi. It's actually not like either one. Lo anoha v'tiyufta. Actually, Rav's question from anoha, from the price word, is not a question. Neither does the halacha, the Mishnah, Mesach Ksubis, support Rav Nachman, as the Gemara explains. The halacha of Enoah does not refute the premise of Rav Nachman's halacha, again, which he was saying over there regarding if the guy sold in something which was label oilam, and again it was an error that we said, he says it's Mechila B'tayis is Mechila. It's not refuted from the halacha of Enoah, because the lo yada the isay Enoah, the buyer doesn't know that there is Enoah, that he was frauded, that he should go ahead and be meichel on it. So therefore, there is no mechila. Even in error, there's no mechila, because he doesn't even know that it was frauded to be forgiving. If he knew, yes, he's going along with it. He's obviously paying the money, so obviously he's being meichel, although in error. But here he doesn't even have the mechila betois, because he doesn't even know he's being frauded to be meichel in error, and that's why there's no mechila in the first place, and that's why the money has to go back. But that doesn't refute Rav Nachman, when if he knows, but in error, that then it is going to be mechila. And v'lo alnis misayele, neither does the halacha of alnis support of Nachman, because the nichala the tepika lashma de ishas. Because actually, even if she knows that her marriage is not a marriage, she wants him to eat her peiris and that she should go back without a ksuba, because she likes that the word gets out that she was a married woman, that she got married, someone liked her, she prefers that. So therefore, actually, there's no mechila b'tayis. It's not even a tayis. She actually wants it, and that's why it's a mechila. But that doesn't support Rav Nachman when it is actual an error, that then who said it would be mechila? Maybe it wouldn't be a mechila. Now the Gemara continues the topic of Aperek regarding the halachas of ribbis. The Gemara brings the following incident. Hahi itza, there was a certain woman, the Amr Leila who gavra, that said to a certain man, Zil zoven li ar mikrivai. Go ahead, I want you to do an agency for me. I want you to buy a certain piece of land from my relative. So Azil zoven lo. So he went and he bought the land from that her relative for this woman. Now Amaloi, but at the time of the sale, the seller said to the shliach, Ihavi li zuzi. I'm selling this land, but if I end up getting money, Mahadras la nehalia. I want you to take the money from me and give me back my land. So Amalei, so the shliach said to the seller, look, at v'navla achi, you and Navla are brothers, you're relatives. In other words, you go ahead and you'll be able to make up between the two of you what you want to do when you get the money and that you want to buy it back. Now Rashi says either Navla is an Aramaic word, whether masculine or feminine. When a person wants to say you and him or you and her, you use the word Navla. Or Rashi says actually it was the name of the woman. Either way, the shliach was telling him, look, what do you want from me? You want me to tell me when you get money, you'll buy it back? Look, you and her relatives, I was just buying it for her. You'll deal with it then when you have the money. Now, Amar Rabbi Rav Huna, the significance of this is because had he not agreed the shliach, then it would be a sale and he wouldn't be able to get his field back. Had he agreed to the terms, then the sale would be specific to those stipulations. Here he said this ambiguous statement by, okay, you and her will deal with it. So therefore, Amar Rabbi Rav Huna has to explain what's the halacha going to be in this case. He says, "Kol at v'navla achi, Omar, anyone who says that, okay, you and her are brothers and relatives, you'll be able to work it out. Samcha daite. So therefore, when the seller hears this, he says, okay, you guys will take care of it. He relies on that. In other words, he's only selling it based on that condition. And he doesn't make a conclusive, finalized sale that he'll never get it back again. He's only doing it based on the stipulations. And therefore, when the time comes, he'll, as the Gemara says, sa'arahadra. So when he has the money, that land will go back to him. But the question is, peirimai, what's the halacha with the fruits of all those years that when it was sold to this navla, and then he gets the money, he wants the field back, and all that time he had the money of the field, which now he's giving back, and all those years there was the peiris, what's the halacha? So the Gemara explains the question. Ribis kitzutzahava, is it considered pre-arranged ribis? And therefore, like we said in the previous daf, when it's biblical ribis, which is what pre-arranged ribis is, for yetzin b'dayan, so therefore it could even be removed with through the courts. In other words, because one way of looking at this is not necessarily a sale. A way of looking at this is that here he got money, the seller, which is like a loan, because ultimately he's giving that money back. Now in the interim, this navla, this navla who had bought the field, she essentially was the lender, and he was the borrower. And now, all those years, she was even the payris, which essentially is like pre-arranged ribis. She's getting interest on that loan, because you're getting the money back. So do we say it's like pre-arranged ribis, and therefore, he could even go ahead and collect the payris through the courts, that it gets removed from this navla? Well, the Gemara says that no, maybe it is considered the dust of ribis, which is considered rabbinic ribis. And the reason for that is because, first of all, it wasn't done in the way of a loan. It was done in the way of a sale. It was just in condition that if I get my money back, I want to be able to get my field back. And so therefore, it wasn't considered like ribis kitzutza. It wasn't set to be that she could eat it through the format of a loan on interest. And therefore, it would not be able to be removed. Or maybe there would be a requirement that a person should, but it wouldn't be able to be removed on through the courts because it's not biblical ribbis. It wouldn't make it a ribbis tzutza to take the payers back from this navla and give it back to the seller. That was the Gemara's question. So Amar Rabbi Ravuni says, Mistabra, it's logical to say, ki avak ribbisu, that it's like only rabbinic, the dust of ribbis of interest, because it wasn't set up beforehand in this format to say, okay, here, take $100, pay me back $150. It wasn't done like that. It was done in the regular way of a sale, just that if I could, I want to get it back, but then that will be retroactive as a ribbis, and therefore, says Rabbi Afuna, those monies, those payris, which were consumed by Navla, cannot be taken back through the court system. Says the Gemara, v'chein amar Rabba, so do Rabba, says, ki avak ribbis hava v'ein yitz medyonin, it's like only the dust of ribbis, and it cannot be taken out through the courts. Now, that's one discussion. Amalei Abaye l'Rabba, a similar type of a discussion. Abaye says to Rabba, mashkanta mai, what would be the halacha, similar type of discussion regarding collateral. If let's say someone uses his field as collateral to the lender, and moreover, he didn't make up with him beforehand that the lender could eat the payris, which would be ribis, because he's going to be getting his money back soon, and all the interim, the lender is eating the payris, which would be interest on the loan. He just gives it to him the collateral to hold on to, like collateral is in case of default. That's what he gives to him. But the lender does go down into the field, and he works the field, and he eats the payris of the field. What's the halacha over there? So the Gemara explains the question. Hasam time am I in the previous Gemara's discussion that you said, why is it by a sale? That is going to be considered only avak ribis and the courts cannot go ahead and remove that interest from the lender. It mishum de lekatzlei, because he said they didn't set it up before and prearrange it that, okay, it's a loan and then you'll have to give back more than what it was. So although it ends up being like that, but that's only avak ribis. So hachanami lekatzlei, here also, he didn't make up, the borrower didn't make up with the lender, and the lender didn't make it with the borrower that, okay, fine, you know, you're getting a certain amount of money. This collateral, I'm going to eat the payris. They didn't make that up. He ended up eating from it, but he didn't make it up. So therefore, it's not ribis kitzutza. It wasn't prearranged, and therefore it's not considered the biblical ribis, and therefore it cannot be removed through the courts. Idam, or maybe no. Hasam Zvini, in the previous Gemara's discussion, ultimately it was a sale. Now, but then we said it could come out as if it was ribbis, so fine, so then we're going to be lenient. But hachalva, here it's a loan. It was a bona fide loan with collateral, and then the person, although they didn't make it up beforehand, but maybe that feature itself would make it that you would be yetzib the yana. So Malay saw, and that he answered him, said Rabbi Tabaya, no, hasim time am I. What's the reason, what's the primary reason that in the previous Gemara's discussion? Because they didn't prearrange it beforehand. Here also wasn't previously prearranged, and therefore, though it's a loan, and the lender's getting more than what he gave, but since it wasn't prearranged, it's not going to be Yotze B'dayanim, which as Rashi points out, this disagrees with Rav Nachman, who he said previously that Hadra, which was what started this Gemara's discussion, of Hadra Ara B'Hadra Peri, that since it was through a format of a loan, which was the last line on the previous daf, even though they didn't set up beforehand that that's what it should be, there Rav Nachman said that you have to return everything, it's like Ribbis Kitsutsa. On that, obviously, Rab is disagreeing, and he says that no, since it wasn't set up beforehand, even though it's through a loan, it's not Yotze B'dayanim. Now, Omer HaPapa, Papa says, Halacha LaMaisa, says, Avad Ravina Uvda, Ravina actually paskin a certain story regarding the first case that we brought, regarding, let's say, where it's a sale. And then, but he said, but if I want to be able to, I could get my field back. He said that the Chashav, he calculated how much pears were eaten by the buyer, who essentially is like the lender of the money. The Apik Peri, he did remove the pears. In other words, he considered, yes, like Ribbis Kitsutsa, the Loikar Rabbi Avunah, not like Rabbi Avunah that we brought in the previous Gemara's discussion regarding the case of the woman with Navla, where Rabbi Bar Avunah had said, it's okay, it's not considered Ribbis Kitsutsa, and it's not Yitzhak, but the Yonin, he considered it Ribbis Kitsutsa, and it was Moitziyat with the Yonin. Because he considered that it's considered pre-arranged beforehand, even though it wasn't said like that, but it is considered because he said that he can get it back, which means to say that it's essentially like a loan. And therefore, the pears that were eaten by Navla are considered Ribbis Kitsutsa. Now the Gemara continues on the halachas of Mashkin again, because we just introduced one case of a Mashkin, which was related to the previous Gemara's discussion about a sale, where the Gemara was asking if that's going to be considered a problem above Ribbis Kitsutsa, where he's getting more than what was given or not. So the Gemara now segues into the discussion of the halachas of Mashkin in general regarding the halachas of collateral. This collateral, that is, if someone borrows money and then as insurance he gives something that he has that he owns to the lender as collateral in case that he doesn't pay up, that he has a way to collect. So on that explains the Gemara. Ba'asra de Misalki, in a place where the custom was that they would generally just make a loan, and the lender, however, ate the payers of the land which is used as collateral. Moreover, as the Gemara is going to later on explain, he didn't make up that when he's going to eat the payers, let's say it's a loan of $1,000, and when he eats the payers of the year, it's $100 worth of payers. He didn't make up that when I'm going to eat the payers of this year, I'm going to be taking away $100 from the debt, and the more I eat, the less you have to pay me. Rather, it was just that he has collateral, and he goes and he eats, and it's not coming off the debt. Now, so what we mean when we say ba'asra de misalki is that the custom of this place was that the borrower could remove the lender from the field that's collateral at any point in time when the borrower has enough money to pay up the debt. He can give him, and he can get rid of him from the field, because there were places that didn't have that custom, and when they had made up a certain time limit when the borrower has to pay up by, moreover, not only is that a benefit for the borrower that he doesn't have to pay up till then, the lender also gains that he gets to just eat the fruits of the field up until that point too. So explains Ravam, this collateral in the place where the borrower could remove the lender, achal shir zuzi. If, let's say, the lender ate the amount of the money, in other words, according to the value of how much the payers would be sold in the marketplace. Now, the borrower comes in front of us, the courts, and he comes and he claims and he says, I don't want you to be eating my payers as ribbis, as interest, because I'm paying you back the same amount of money that I borrowed from you. This collateral field that you're holding onto, that you're eating payers and payers, I don't want it to be that that's interest. I actually want to evaluate the payers that you're eating, and you should take that as a fulfillment of the debt that I owe you. Because says this debtor, if I had money, because that's the custom of that place, I'd be able to remove you. So now also the payers that you ate, I want it to be considered the money that I owe you. Says Rava, misal kinele. So then actually, he could remove the lender. In other words, although, as we'll see in the next case, that it's just a case of avak ribis, that the lender eat the peris. And as we said before, therefore he can't remove him with the judges because it's not a case of a loan. But that's only after the lender already took the peris. But this buyer is very quick. He doesn't let the lender eat more than just the amount of the principal that he owes him. And therefore, he could remove him and says, look, I owe you $100. You already ate $100 worth of peris. Go, that's it, you're done. Now leave, because that's the debt that I owe you. Now, but achal tfei. But if let's say the lender ate more than the money that's owed to him, lo mefkin minei. So that, you can't remove the money from him, as we just said before, because since it's not ribis ketzutz, it wasn't set up before and in that way that he said that you can have the payris. It's just that the lender went down himself and ate the payris of that field that's a mashkin. So that's just avak ribis. And as we said before, avak ribis is only rabbinic. That cannot be removed through the courts. And therefore, you can't take the money away from him. And moreover, v'lo mechashvin mishtar l'shtar. Neither, although we said that up until the amount of the debt could cancel it out, but more than that, you can't go ahead and actually take away from him because it's just avak ribis. So too, if let's say the borrower owes money to the lender on a different debt, on a different deed, a different document. So the excess that the lender ate cannot go ahead and be used to pay up the debt of the other document, because that would actually be considered like removing from him what he already ate to pay up that other debt. For the same debt, yes, it could cancel it out. More than that, you can't take away. It's only avak ribis. Now, to go ahead and say that it's not more than debt, it's just a different debt, that would be considered taking away from transferring to the other debt. That also cannot be calculated from document to document. That's with a regular person. Now, Ubedi Yasmi, but says Rava, if let's say this field of the Mashkin was owned by orphans, then Ochel Shir Zuze, then as we said, for a regular person, if he ate the amount of the debt, Misakin Lei, but moreover, Ochel Tfei, if he ate more than the debt, Mafkin Minei, the courts that are in the city, they're considered the fathers of the orphans, and therefore we remove the excess from the lender because they rule over to consider as if they're the fathers, the courts of the orphans, because they don't have a father. Now, the courts are not forgiving for the excess that this lender ate, and therefore it's as if they had removed him from the moment he ate the share of the zuz, as if they said, you're out of here, and anything more that he ate was considered gazel, and therefore the courts could collect from him the excess that he ate, and more of a mechashvin l'shtar l'shtar. So therefore, you could use that excess that he ate to counter and balance off another debt, because since that's considered gezel, he has to pay that. Therefore, they could use it to offset another debt. That's the opinion of Rava. Rav Asher, he disagrees. He says, no. Hashta de Amr, now that you said that achol tfei loy mafkin minei, you agree for a regular person, if the lender eats more than what was allowed to him for the debt, that we don't take that money away from him, because again, you said it's just considered avak ribis. So therefore, says Rav Ashi, achol shir zuzinami. So then the same thing is, even if he eats just the amount of how much the debt was, loy misal kinin le b'lei zuzi. You cannot get rid of, the bar cannot get rid of the lender without paying him the money that he owes him for the loan. You can't use it to cancel out. My time, it says Rav Ashi, what's the reason? Sluki b'lei zuzi, to remove him without money, afuki minehu. Essentially, that is taking money away from him, because since he already ate that up, it wasn't in the form of payment of the loan that he ate it up, and therefore have avak ribis. The moment that he eats it, it's considered avak ribis. The avak ribis ain't a yitzah b'dayanan, and avak ribis cannot be taken away through the judges. In other words, if you're going to remove him from this field without paying him, it's the same thing as taking away the money of avak ribis, what he already ate. And therefore, says Rav Ashi, even that which is equal to the amount of the debt cannot be used to cancel out. You'd still have to pay him up the amount of the loan. Now, Rashi just points out one thing, this, that the Gemara explained this specifically talked about in a case where the borrower could remove the lender at any point in time, what's called Asr de Misalki. The reason being is because it was a place where the borrower cannot remove the lender, where the custom is that the lender could eat from the collateral for a certain amount of years according to however long it was that the debt, the date is that the borrower has to pay up, and so too that the lender could hold on to the mashkin. Then actually, if the borrower had money, he would not be able to remove him before that amount of time. So then, says Rashi, everyone would agree that in all those years, it's considered like sold to the lender, because he has the rights to this, because he cannot be removed up until that date, and therefore, even if he would have eaten the shir zuzi, meaning the amount of how much the debt was, he would not be able to remove him without paying him the money, because that's not even like avak ribbis. It's not ribbis at all. It would be considered like a mechira, and therefore the case had to be discussed, and specifically a case where the borrower could remove the lender at any point in time. Since it's asad mesakin lay, so therefore essentially it's not like a sale, because he could be removed at any time. He gives him the money, he could get rid of him. So it's not, it wasn't sold to the lender at all. Therefore it's like ribbis, but again it's just avak ribbis, because it wasn't prearranged ribbis like a loan. So since it's only avak ribbis, so that's why we said that avak ribbis is something that cannot be yitze bidayanin. That was the discussion. But however, what's the halacha with the debt itself? That was the discussion, if that could be considered for payment of the debt. Well, like Rav Ashi said, that's not considered payment of the debt. That's also considered trying to remove avak ribbis from him, and you cannot do that. Now, the Gemara actually follows this up, that Ovid Rav Ashi uvdi biyusei mikatana. Rav Ashi actually went and did something. He paskin the halacha with minor orphans regarding their field that was a mashkin to a lender. As we continue to Amid Beis, Kigadaylam, he treated them like adults. In other words, that even though the lender had eaten the Shir Zuzi, he did not allow them, the orphans, to remove the lender from what he had eaten. Because again, as we said, Rav Ashi holds that from the moment the lender starts eating, it's already avak ribbis, and therefore the judges have no rights to remove him from it. And therefore, he said that, look, even though he ate the amount of the debt, you would have to pay up the debt to remove the lender from this field that he has that's collateral. Continuing on this halachas of mashkin, the Gemara says, "Amar Rava b'Rei Rav Yisim Mishmei de Rava." He says, "Hi mashkanta, this mashkin, ba'aser de misalki, in a place where the borrower could remove the lender at any point in time. He has money, he could pay him up, he could remove him from the field. So lo nechil ele benach yasa. So then the lender is only allowed to eat from the field if it's what's called nachyasa, which comes from the word of menake, which is that the debt gets downgraded a certain amount of money per year. So it doesn't have to be even the amount of how much the actual value of it is, but it has to be that you can't just eat without any reduction of the price of the loan, because again, that's problematic of ribbis. It has to be that at least, if let's say the value of, let's say, the field of every year of eating is $100, as long as you say $10 a year that the lender says, I'm going to be eating from this collateral, then it looks like at least a sale. Now, the reason why it looks like a sale and not like ribbis, because here he is, he's taking back much more than what he lent the guy, is because there's an element of doubt regarding any time you're involved with a field. Because the lender's going to be paying a certain amount of money, meaning diminishing from the debt that's owed to him from the borrower, even though it might not produce any payers that year. So that would be a gain for the borrower, because the lender is taking off from the debt even though he's not getting anything. So since he's taking away a certain amount of money from the debt every single year, so therefore, although the lender's taking more money because he's taking all these payers every year, it's not going to be ribbis, because again, there is some benefit for the borrower, and therefore it would be considered on some level like a sale. Now, but as Rashi points out, this is specifically in the place where the borrower could remove the lender at any point in time. But if it was ba'asa d'loy mesalki, if the borrower cannot remove the lender, then as we said before, all the time of the date up until when the loan is up is considered like a sale to him, and therefore, even without nachyasa, even without deduction from the debt, he's allowed to eat, because again, he has the rights for all that time. He can't be removed. It's like he bought that, and therefore, it's not considered like ribbis, even if there's no deduction. Now, so that's regarding a regular person. But Ritzuva Midrabanan, but a Talmudic scholar who has to straighten his path, and he has to sanctify himself, even what's permitted for the general populace, because maybe people are going to learn from him and be mezalzel and be disgraceful regarding things that are forbidden, because there is an appearance of ribbis to this, because ultimately the lender is taking back more than what he gave, albeit that we're interpreting it as a sale, but it still has that appearance, which a Talmudic scholar has to be wary of. He's not allowed to eat from the mashkin, even if there's a deduction, a set deduction every year from the debt by eating the pears. He can't do that because it looks like ribbis. So ask the Gemara, so what would be a situation that the lender who is a Talmud Chacham would be allowed to eat from the fruits of the field that he has in his possession as collateral from the borrower? Says the Gemara, b'kitzutza, which the little translation of kitzutza is a set limit, which the Gemara is shortly going to explain what that is. But first, the Gemara says that even this option you're saying of kitzusa would not work according to every opinion. Because ha'nich l'man d'alma kitzusa shari, that only makes sense according to the opinion that says that kitzusa is permitted, and since it's a permitted practice, so Talmud Chacham would be allowed to do that. Elamanda Makitsusa Asir, but according to the opinion that says that it's forbidden, Ma'ikal Meima, what are you going to say? How could a Talmud Chacham use that as an option of how he could eat from the fruits of the collateral? Didma, like we learned, that Kitsusa, Pligiba Rav Acha Ravina. So Machlik is Rav Acha and Ravina. Charama once said Kitsusa Sharia. Kitsusa is permitted. Charama Kitsusa Asir once said it's forbidden. Now, Hechidami Kitsusa. There's actually two different versions of what is this Kitsusa that they disagree about. What's Kitsusa? What's the set amount that we're giving limits regarding how much could the lender take advantage, so to speak, of the field of the mashkin? Was the Amarle, where he said to him, Ad chamesh nin, achil no lebele nechiyasa. The lender tells the borrower, look, up until 5 years, I'm going to eat from the payers of this field that you give me as a collateral without deducting any of the debt. Now, mekam ve'elich, but there's a limit on that. Mekam ve'elich sheyam no loch kulu peri. But from that point on, if I continue eating from the produce of the fields, I'm going to evaluate every peri that I eat. The value is going to come off from the debt itself. So that is less than, that is something that is it would be considered as the Rishonim explained, somewhat of a narisus, like a sharecropper, where there's a certain way of how it's being divided. That is that's what some say is what kitsusa is, which was a machlekes Rav Acha and Ravina, if that's a permitted practice or a forbidden practice. Igadami, that those that say that no, kol b'loy nachyasa aser, anything that's without deduction, like the first version had it, that the first 5 years he could eat without deducting anything. That no, the second version says that everyone agrees without deduction, it's going to be forbidden. Aval hechadam kitsusa. So what is the case of kitsusa? The Amar Lei, where he tells him, Ad chamishnin achilnu benachyasam. The first 5 years, I'm going to eat with deduction. Which is, no matter, it doesn't even have to be the actual value. But as long as there's a certain deduction from the price of the debt. Mikam ve'elich sheyam nolach kulu peri. From here and on, I'm going to deduct the actual value. When I eat the peri, if it's worth $50 in the market, I'm going to take off $50 from the debt. So, and that explains the Gemara. Man da'asa b'kamaisam. In other words, according to the first version that said that the machlekes between these two amirim was regarding eating without nachyasa, would hold that according to everybody, shari bibasraisa. So the second version's case of what they hold the kitsusa is, which is deducting, it's just that you're deducting for 5 years and afterwards you start giving the actual value, that would be a good option for a Talmud Chacham what to do, because although he can't use this option of nachyasa, but kitsusa he could do. Because it's actually even more stringent than Achyasa, because there he only has an Achyasa of deduction for 5 years. After that, he has to give the actual value. So that would be a good option with Talmud Chacham. But on that, as the Gemara, Manda Asa Bebasraisa, but according to the Lishna Basa, the second version, that said that no, even when you eat for the first five years, it's Toma with Achyasa, even that was a Machlekes, where one of the opinions held that it's going to be asur, even in such a case, Sehecha Shor L'Meichel. So where would you find a permitted way for Talmud Chacham to eat the fruits of the field that's a mashkin? He can't do nachyasa, as we said before. And moreover, there is an opinion that kitsusa is going to be forbidden too, even when there is nachyasa for 5 years, and then afterwards he's going to pay the actual value. Even that's not an option for Talmud Chacham, because that's forbidden according to that opinion. So what would be the option for the Talmudic scholar? That says the Gemara, Shari ki mashkanta desura. An option that would work according to everybody is when he uses what's called the Surian, the place of Sura, of their collateral. Because the Chasvi Bahachi, they would write as follows. B'mishlim shana yi'ilein, at the conclusion of these years, tepek aradab lechasef, you'll be able to take this land that you gave to me as collateral without owing me any money. Now, that doesn't look like a loan at all. Rather, it looks like that he purchased from him the produce for these years for this amount of money, meaning it actually was a loan. He borrowed $100 and they gave him the field as collateral. Now, how could he eat it? Because they said that I owe you $100, but at the end of the amount of time, the land is going to go back without me owing any money. So essentially, it's like a sale. He bought the payers for that amount of years, and since it has all the appearances of a sale, everyone would agree that even for a Talmud Chacham, that would be an option, although he can't do Nachyasa, or he possibly can't even do Kitsusa, but the Mashkanta Desura, that it could use, and that would be an option. That wouldn't have the appearance of Ribbis, and therefore it would rather be have the total appearance of a sale, and therefore that would be permitted for him to eat the produce of the field, in that case, as a lender of a Mashkin. Now the Gemara continues on the Halachas of Mashkin. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Berid, Rav Shua, Amar Tavai, they both say, Hai Mashkanta, this collateral, But Asra de Misalki, again, the place where the borrower could remove the lender at any point in time. If he has the money, pays him up, the mortgage is over, he could get back his field. So let's say if the lender passes away and he leaves this collateral for his children. Ein bal chayv, so then the father's creditor cannot come and be goyvehem meno and collect from that field that the father has as collateral. Now, the reason for that is because since at any point in time, the father's borrower, who he has this collateral from, this field, could come and take it away at any point in time he wants to. So the father really doesn't have any rights in the land itself. It's really considered like metalin to him, because all he has is the rights to the payers, and that could be taken away at any point in time. Now, metalin of the orphans are not meshubah, do not become indebted to the creditors. Now, as Rashi points out, meaning if the father was still alive, so then his creditor could collect even from the shirt off his back because he borrowed from him money and he becomes indebted to him. And the Torah says that a shlich basically could come into his house and take whatever he wants for collateral. As the Pasuk says in the Devarim Chavdal, which the Gemara tells us later on, if that's the shlich basically, he could come in and take whatever he needs to pay up to the lender. Now, but when he passes away, now, regards to orphans, what can you go ahead and demand to collect from? They didn't borrow from that person. Now, if they inherited lands, so the lands are meshubah, that's why they're always called achrayis. The chazm sheshbem achrayis, they become indebted from the life of the father, so they're like a guarantor for the debts of the person. So, as we say, that the person's nechasim are his guarantors. So, therefore, it was regarding those properties that the guy lent was relying on that. But metatlin, but my movable items, doesn't have even halacha of a guarantor, because the lender did not rely on those things, because since it's movable and the guy could hide it and to lose it, he doesn't rely on that. So therefore, what they're both saying, Rav Papa and Rav Hunan B'Dibashu, is they're saying that this mashkin, since it could be removed from the father at any point in time, because the borrower could pay for it, it's like the guy who's holding onto the mashkin, this lender, in regards to his credit, it doesn't have the actual land itself. And since we don't consider this karka, rather than metatlin, his creditor cannot collect from those lands that he has as a mashkin. So too, v'ena b'chor nitl b'pishnayim. Although the firstborn child, when it comes time for inheritance, he gets a double portion. However, according to the opinion in Baba Basra that says that the firstborn does not take a double portion by a milva, by a loan, here also, since this land can be removed at any point in time, we consider it as just a loan, because the field here is not his, the father's field. It's and therefore it's not considered as ro, as muhzik. It's rather, it's considered something that's it's fit to come. It's just considered a shibud on the payers. And this firstborn child does not take what's called bero as he does bimuhzik. In other words, even something that's fit to come to the father, which is a loan that's owed to him, which that's what he has the collateral for, it's not considered like something is in the possession of the father at the time that he dies, since the Pasuk says in the Devarim Chafal, b'chalasha yimotze loy, whatever is found by him at the time of death. Here, it's just a debt that's owed to him, which he has collateral for, which could be removed at any point in time. We don't consider it as if the father is in possession of it when he dies, so the first one does not take a double portion of that field either. Mishvius misham tasen, and the third halacha that we apply it to is the halacha of that Shemitah cancels this debt. In other words, like a regular milva b'shtar, a regular debt that's recorded in a document, the halacha is that the assets of the borrower are meshubed to the lender, and yet the seventh year comes and cancels it. Same thing would apply for this halacha, where since it's not owned, as we said, by the lender, it's just considered as collateral, and it could be taken away at any point in time. Same thing applies that it's going to, the seventh year is going to cancel it. Now, the chiddush in this is because although generally we say that if someone lends money on collateral, that the seventh year does not cancel it, that says Rashi is only by a mashkin of a movable item. Now, the reason for that is because the creditor acquires the mashkin that he has in his hand, as the Pasuk teaches us later on, the Pebez and Medalef, from the Pasuk Ulochati Tzedakah, that it says that the one who has the collateral should do charity and give it for back to the borrower at certain times, which obviously means that like it's if he acquired it, and then he should go ahead and do charity and give it to the person. In contrast over here, where we said that he doesn't acquire it, it could be taken away from him at any point in time, therefore it's like a regular loan, and that would be voided, even that mashkin, when the seventh year comes around. Now, continues the Gemara, in the inverse, uba asud loy mesalki, but in places where the borrower cannot remove the lender for that period of time, so bal chayv goyve menu, so the creditor of that lender would be able to collect from that field for that period of time because it is considered sold to the lender. And same thing applies for all these halachas. It's like it's his. It was sold for him for that period of time. and the b'chay nitl by pishnayim, the firstborn would take a double portion, and ve'ein shvi'is misham tasa, and just like regular collateral that it's owned by the creditor. Same thing over here, where it's owned by the creditor because it was sold to him at this period of time, the seventh year would not void and cancel that loan. Ba'am mazutra mishmedra papa. He says, hai mashkanta, this collateral, ba'astra de misalki, in a place where the borrower could remove the lender. So, misalkile, so he could remove the lender from this field that the lender was holding onto. Not only could he remove him and take back his land, but even there's the process of when they would harvest the dates, so they would spread out these reed mats beneath the palm trees, and the dates would fall on them. So if he comes, the borrower comes with money, and he pays up the debt, and these dates are there on the mats beneath the tree, not only does he take the land back, but he could even take the dates, which are already detached, but are on the mats, even that he takes back with him, back home, meaning to his land, when he takes it back by paying up the debt. Now, but ve'iag behanu besisni, but if the lender already had picked up the dates and put it into these baskets, which they put into when they take it off the mats, then the lender has already acquired them by doing the kinyan of lifting it up, which was before he took the money back from the borrower, and therefore it's already his that the borrower can't take back anymore. Now, however, the Gemara says, but Lamandam, according to the opinion mission Baba Basna Payma Beis, that says that Caleb Shalakeach, just the vessels of the consumer, just they themselves, without even doing Hagbah, Bishus Meicher, even though they're in the domain of the seller, Kana Lekeach, then the consumer, even if it's in the domain of the Meicher, acquires it. So he says, Afilo Deloyag be in the Besisne Kananu. Then even if it wasn't picked up with these other baskets that the dates are put into, even though they're just on the Machzalis, on these reed mats, the lender, who's considered in this case the buyer of the field, has already acquired it. And the reason why he's acquired it was because his kalim, which are his mats, even though it's in the rishus of the meicher, which is the borrower, his mats have already acquired it. And therefore, even though he gets the money back, the fruits that are already on his mats have acquired it for him, just like, according to the other opinions, when he had put it into his basket. Continues the Gemara on this topic, pshita, it's obvious. But asa de misalki, in the place where the borrower could remove the lender. But v'amar, loy mistalakna, he says, at the time when the money was given over, he made a condition that the lender said, I'm lending you the money on the condition that you can't remove me up until this amount of years, meaning, obviously you're getting the benefit of a loan, I want to be able to hold on to your field for that amount of time, and with that stipulation is why I'm giving you the money. Now, what's important for that is that because land is acquired with money, whether it's through a sale or whether it's even just a rental, and in all situations, therefore, it goes according to the stipulation that's made. So, says the Gemara, it's obvious in such a case that the whole loan, which was basically money on the land, was only given with that stipulation. So, how come? Delay mistalakna. So, the borrower said he's not going to remove him, and therefore, he can't remove him up until that date. But the question is, let's say the place where the custom is that he cannot remove the lender up until the due date of the loan. But va'amar mistalakna, but the lender said, here's the flip side, the other inverse, is where the lender says, don't worry, you could remove me, you want to pay up, fine, even if it's before the date, you could remove me. That has to gemara, my, what's the halacha? Tzorich l'mikne minei oiloi? Does the buyer have to acquire that right from the lender to say that, to actually create a formal kinyan on that he could remove him, or does he not have to? Sech machlikis. Papa says, Lo tzorich l'mikne minei, doesn't have to acquire that from him, as the Rishayim explained, because it's like a mechila. He's just forgiving on something. He's not, doesn't have to create an acquisition. He just, he's ceding his rights. So that's something he could do, even without a kinyan. Rav Sheish is buried. Rav Idam, he disagrees. He says, no, tzorich l'mikne minei. No, the borrower does have to acquire from him. And the reason being is because it's regarding an actual object over here. If he's not going to acquire from him, it's just words. And then the lender could say, I don't want to change what the minig is, which is that you can't remove me up until the due date. And the Gemara says, v'elchus adalach is tzorich l'mikne minei. He has to actually create a formal acquisition. He can't just say, oh, it's okay, you can remove him whenever you want to. You have to actually do a kinyan to be allowed to remove him before the customary time, which is the due date, to even remove him before that. Now, Omar, let's say the borrower says, Ezel va'aisi zuzik. He says, I mean, he gave the lender his field as collateral, and then he says that, I'm going to come and I'm going to bring you the money, and I'm going to pay you up. And therefore, he tells the lender, I don't want you to eat any more pears. I know up until now you did, but I could remove you when I want to, and I'm bringing the money, so stop eating the pears. Says the Gemara, lo yachol. So the lender can't eat the peiros anymore because since the money is already prepared and the borrower doesn't give him any more rights to take the fruits off his field. And since we're talking about a place that's asked the mesalke, he can remove him if he wants to. Since he says, I'm just going home to get the money, don't eat the peiros, he's not allowed to eat the peiros. But let's say he says, ezel ve'etrich ve'esi zuzi. I'm going to go and I'm going to put in the effort, I'm going to try, I'm going to go ahead and get money. Then it's a machlekes. Ravina ma'achli says, so he could continue eating. You don't have the money prepared. He's saying, you go and put in the effort, you're going to get it. He could continue eating. Ma'achli says, no, even in that situation, he's not allowed to eat. Halacha actually is that he's not allowed to eat. Because he doesn't give him the right anymore, even though he doesn't have the money prepared. But he says, I'm going to go in, I'm going to go get the money. I'm going to go put in the effort to get it. The lender's not allowed to eat the peiros anymore. Now, Rav Kahana, Rav Papa, Rav Ashi, conclusion of what we said on the top of the Amid, loy achli benach yasa. They wouldn't eat as lenders from a field of the borrower, which they got as a mashkin, even through deduction. Where although the Gemara said that that's permitted, but it's Suvim Rabbanu, who these were Talmudic scholars, are not allowed to eat even with nach yasa, with deduction of the price of the debt, of the value of the debt every year by eating that produce, which we said that either he has to do kitzuso or according to everyone would work mashkanta de surah. But nach yasa not. Now, Ravina Achal ben Achyasa, he would eat as a lender with deduction of the collateral field, deducting from the debt, even not the value, but just a set amount every single year. Which Taisus wonders. We said that Tzuvim Rabbanan shouldn't eat Nachyasa. And that Ravina Tam says that Ravina didn't want to what's called Litel Es Hashem. He didn't want to take the title and make as if he's a Talmudic scholar. So since it was permitted, he didn't hold himself, and therefore he went and he did this practice of eating Nachyasa. Now, but either way, the Gemara says, Amazuchi explains, my time of demand the ochel benachyasa. What is the underpinning logic that permits someone, like Ravina did, to eat the field in deduction? How does that permit it? Why isn't that considered ribbis? You're taking more than what you lent. You're deducting $10. You're eating $100 a year. You lent a certain amount of money. You're getting way more back. How is that permitted? So that Gemara explains, mi didehava steachuza. It's the same thing like what happens with an ancestral field. An ancestral field is something that a person inherited from his father, all the way back by Yeshua ben Nun, they came with Eretz Yisrael for the first time. The halacha is that if a person is makdish it, he gives it to hekdish, it has certain halachas. A steachuza, by an ancestral field, the Torah tells us that if someone comes and he wants to, what's called the pasuk says, lefdesim in a hekdish, he wants to redeem it from hekdish, so it's lefia, it goes according to the years that there are left up until the Gable year, and that the calculation ends up coming out that the person who buys it from Hekdesh up until the Yevil year ends up paying a sela and a punyan according to the for every year, which is according to the calculation of 50 shekel for an area that you could plant a kur of se'irim for 49 years up until the Yevil, which again keeps on getting deducted according to how many years there are left for Yevil, which ends up coming out to every single year being just a sela and a punyan. So says the Gemara, Lav afal gavdika ochel, although the one who's redeeming this other guy's field from Hekdesh, where he gets the rights to eat the fruits up until the Yevil year, which after the Yevil year then goes to the Kanam and they keep it forever. This guy who redeems it is eating peri, the fruits of Hekdesh, tuva, a lot of fruits from every single year, way more than what the value of the fruits really are. And yet Amrachman the Torah tells us, as we continue on top of Samachasamad Alf, Kaparik lo ba'arba zuzi, that the person could redeem it from Hekdesh for just 4 zuz, which is a sela for every single year. Hachanami leishnos, therefore says the Gemara here also, by the case of Nachyasa, is no different. In other words, because we see when a person goes down in the purchase or redemption, it's both the same thing, of a field is an area of doubt. He's paying money every single year, either the lender in our case, who's deducting a set amount from the debt, or the guy who's redeeming the field from Hekdesh, is giving a certain amount to Sela every single year, but it's a situation of a doubt. Why? Because maybe it's going to make payers, maybe it's not going to produce payers. So therefore, essentially, we view that as a sale. And therefore, that's why we can redeem the fruits of Hekdesh that way, because we cannot cause a loss for Hekdesh. It's not, because Hekdesh gains, because Hekdesh doesn't know it's going to produce any fruits. So since it's a situation of doubt, it's a risk. So it's the money is being paid for the risk. Same thing says the Gemara applies for here regarding a loan where, although it's not the value of the fruits that's being compensated to the borrower, but there's a deduction of a certain price, that's a risk. Who said it's going to make payers in the first place? And I'm paying every single year. I'm deducting from the debt every single year, says the lender. Therefore, we don't view that as ribbis on the loan, but rather as a payment, as a sale of the field, which is a risk. And that's what he's paying for every single year. And therefore, it's not considered as ribbis on the loan. Now, that the Gemara says, but the one who, those other Amarim that said that they wouldn't eat Benach Yosef, they would tell you that no, there's a fundamental difference. Can't prove it from the halacha of a steachuz of an ancestral field, because that's hektish, that's not a loan. That just depends on the halacha of redemption. Now, Rachmanu Ukmi opinion, the Torah tells us that how much is the value that you can redeem with is 4 zuz, is a sell a year. But hacha halvahi, here you run into a problem, because here it's starting off as a loan, u'mechzik ribbis. And then we run into the rabbinic problem that it has the appearance of ribbis, where the halacha mechzik ribbis is problematic, especially for the biblical case of a loan. And therefore they say that even nachyasa, which you're deducting a certain amount, is going to be different. A tamal chacham should not do that, is going to be different than the case of steachuz, where although there it's permitted, yes, we'll view that as a redemption. But here, since it's talking about a case of a loan, with ribbis is problematic, and even though it's not ribbis, because yes, it is like a sale, because it is a risk, but since it gives the appearance of ribbis, therefore it's forbidden to go ahead and even use nachyasa as a deduction of the debt to go ahead and allow the lender to be eating from the payers of every single year, which essentially looks like ribbis on the loan that he gave to the borrower.